Well, this morning, I'd like to call our attention to the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, the 31st through the 36th verses. And in the New International Version, they read as follows. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs in it to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and discerning of God's word. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for the promise of the message of renewal and even reformation. We thank you that even in the challenges of changing and becoming that which you would call us to be, you yet still abide with us. So allow our hearts now to be open to the prospect of your movement, your power, and your presence. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. So, on October 31st, in the year 1517, at the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, a young 34-year-old Augustinian monk by the name of Martin Luther took a document of 95 principles, 95 theses, arguments, statements, if you will, and hammered them to the door of the Castle Church at Wittenberg. And in so doing, he started a movement, he started an age of the church that even yet now still is unfolding. So in the course of understanding why we make it a point to acknowledge the Reformation and the beginning of the Reformation, maybe the first thing we ought to do is come to an understanding of what exactly it was that Martin Luther was doing and why it's even important to remember it. And in fact, it ties to the passage of Scripture that we just heard read. Because Jesus, in talking to the gathered religious authorities, basically lets them know that they can be, if you will, reshaped and refashioned into a new understanding of what their relationship to God truly should be. He talks to them about being enslaved, and immediately it bristles against them because they say, after all, we're the children of Abraham. We've never been enslaved. That's not exactly historically accurate, but it says something about human ego. We don't like to be thought of as ever having been subjugated to someone else or something else. But in fact, while Jesus was talking to those leaders, those Jewish leaders, they were under Roman occupation at that very moment. So maybe the point is sometimes we don't even understand what our enslavement or our bondage really is, even while we're in the midst of it. So what Jesus says to them and what Jesus says to us is that the truth is what leads us to fulfillment and freedom. The truth will set us free. And Jesus, in talking to those who were gathered then and in talking to us, lets us know that the truth has to do with the reality of God's presence in the world and in our lives. And because Jesus was saying this to them, it was evident and clear that he was the embodiment of truth. So, fast forward, if you will, from first century Palestine to 16th century Germany, and understand that Martin Luther, in that moment, in essence, was saying the same thing. That if we can come to an understanding of what truth is, then maybe we can have the fulfillment of relationship that God calls us to. And in all of what happens and in all that unfolds from that moment on, and let me just say, so we understand that the history of the Reformation, and I'm certain because of the particular nature of this anniversary, 500 years as of October 31st, All Saints Day, All Saints Eve rather, there'll be a lot said about the historical nature of the Reformation. But don't let it be lost on us that Martin Luther was a complex and deeply flawed individual. He was a horrible anti-Semite. And we can't let that be untended or unacknowledged. And it helps us to understand that even in the deep frailties of who he was still able to be used as an instrument to make some points that we need to yet still embrace today. So maybe it tells us that in the deepness of our flaws, God still is able to use us. So I hope we understand that this is not a time that we deify or somehow shine off Martin Luther to the point where we don't understand, again, the depth of his flaws, but we can understand what he wrestled with and what he struggled with. And here's what he wrestled with and what he struggled with. That accountability in terms of our faith rests, listen closely here, with each of us. Not with an institution, not with a hierarchy, but our accountability rests with each of us. We are each individually accountable for how we live out our lives of faith. And so when Martin Luther said that, now to our ears now, in 2017, it sounds normative, and it sounds like, of course, that's what we understand. But understand how radical it was for this young Augustinian monk to say something like that in 1517. Because what he was saying is that God does not interact with institutions. God does not interact with hierarchies and structures. God has come to interact and abide with each of us and calls us to an understanding of what it means to acknowledge God and for God to indeed be in our lives and a presence in our lives. So, the Reformation, for all of its complexity, boils down to this, that each of us has a stake in this conversation. The Reformation, for all of its complexity, has broken through the walls and barriers that sometimes separate us from that understanding. And trust me when I tell you that even on that October 31st in 1517 in Wittenberg, Germany, when Martin Luther tapped the hammer to nail those theses on the church door, that was just the beginning. And sadly, I wish I could tell you that the Reformation was simply a matter of interesting and robust conversation and discussion and debate, but you and I know it was not. It was bloody, it was awful in the context of human life being lost and divisions and rifts being made and vilification of one another. So we need to understand that what we are talking about, what we are acknowledging on this day, shows the difficulty in coming to grips with how we understand God's presence in our lives and how God truly is present in our lives. And it hurts to change. It hurts to change. And even in 1517, it was clear that it would hurt societally and culturally, to change from one perspective to another. And maybe even in 2017, we know the same thing, that it sometimes is a challenging thing to change. But that's what we're called to do. That's what Jesus is saying to those who he's speaking to in this passage in John. That you don't want to be bound and limited and confined and restrained by being enslaved to the things that indeed limit you and bind you and constrain you. You want to be made free. And the way in which we are made free is to understand that God has come to be in full relationship and fellowship with us. So maybe the first place we need to understand what it is to be reformed and reshaped is to understand that within the church, within the community of believers, within the body of Christ, if you will, we're called to have a new understanding of what it means to be in fellowship and what it means to be in relationship. As I was talking about even at the very outset this morning, I was saying that we're called in so many ways to sustain each other and to uplift one another and to support and encourage one another. We need to understand that when we talk about church, we're not simply talking about structure. We're not talking about bylaws. We're not talking about constitutions. We're not talking about traditions. We're not talking about heritage. We're not talking about custom. But we're talking about the vital reality of God being present in our lives and us being gathered in community and celebrating and living out that presence. That's the church. And understand this morning, I can say that and we can respond to it, but you and I both know, we all know, that sometimes it's hard to push against our preconceived notions. Well, this is the way it ought to be. But thanks be to God that God is indeed a God of reforming and changing and renewal. It's like, indeed, Jeremiah said, his mercies are new every morning. We like to think sometimes that we stand on the heritage and the history and the tradition of the church, and that's what makes us strong. But you better be thankful. You'd better be thankful that the church, listen, this may sound controversial, but you'd better be thankful that the church is not what it used to be. I can assure you with absolute certainty that as we sit in this sanctuary in 2017, that to a person, those persons who sat in this sanctuary in 1917 had a completely different worldview. You'd better be thankful that we are able to change. I can assure you that everybody who was in this sanctuary in 1917 thought differently about the role of women in the world. I can assure you that even though we're sitting in New York City, that people thought differently about race relations in the world. They thought differently about how to deal with individuals who are from different cultures and different contexts. But in the midst of being who we are in a vibrant relationship with God, indeed, times and perspectives, thanks be to God, have changed. The church has wrestled with many issues and many concerns, and thanks be to God, still wrestles with issues and concerns. Still wrestles with the issue of what it really means to love unconditionally and how we are able and called to be able to love as our heart calls us to love. So we need to understand that we are yet still in the process of being reformed and remade. Google can make you feel awfully intellectually powerful. I didn't know this until I looked it up. But our red blood cells replenish and renew at the rate of 100 million cells every day. So that means that even as we sit here, we're in the process physically of renewal, of, if you will, reformation. So we need to understand that as God calls our very bodies to be renewed and revitalized, God is active in the body of Christ, active in the church, renewing us, causing our perspectives, causing our worldview to be vibrant and able to allow us to engage and connect with the world around us. Now, I said a moment ago that in 1917, the worldview of everybody who was gathered here was different than the worldview of those of us who are here now. But maybe we can take solace in the fact that even a century removed from those individuals, that we, like them, still struggled and sought to understand how we could be faithful in our walk and in our relationship with a loving and abiding God. So that hasn't changed. But in knowing that that's the reality of who we are, that we seek to please God and we seek to be in relationship with God, it causes us to seek to be renewed and reformed as the body of Christ, day in and day out. His mercies are new every morning. But then, along with the actual body of Christ, the church, if you will, being reformed, the Reformation, as it emanated from not just Martin Luther, but many other people, helps us to understand that individuals, each of us, is on our own journey of renewal and reformation. How is it that I engage with God differently than I engaged with God many years or decades ago? And how is it that that engagement with God will even yet still change as time unfolds? I don't have all the answers to that, and it'd be easy to come here and give you a pat formula for how we should walk and abide with God. But what I can say to you is that God's promise to us is to walk with us and abide with us in the journey, no matter the difficulties and the challenges and the tribulations and the trials. So in the midst of our own journey, when we do change, you know, as I said, the church has changed, and we ought to be thankful for that change. We have changed, each of us. And you might think to yourself, there have been times of your life that have been better and more fulfilling than one other particular time. But when you think about it and consider all of the accumulated wisdom, all of the accumulated life experience, should we not be thankful that we've unfolded and lived a life in which we can be thankful for how God has given us wisdom, given us a depth of understanding, a depth of knowledge that we may not have had before? And sometimes it comes through joyful episodes, and sometimes it comes through sorrowful episodes. But we are different than we were before. So that reformation, even as it unfolds in the very cells of our body, unfolds in our hearts and our spirits as well. So what do we do with this? If God is in the midst of reforming the church and making it vital in the world in which we exist, if God is in the midst of reforming us and renewing us every day, what do we do with all of this reformation and this newness? Well, I submit to you that what God really calls us to do on a Reformation Sunday, or for that matter, any other Sunday, is not simply to look back historically at who we are, or should I say, who we have been, or what we have done, or where we have been before, but how we indeed can live in this present age God's calling to fulfill. What can we bring to this moment that shows the reality and the power and the loving presence of God in the world today? So yes, God calls the church to be reformed. And yes, God reforms us. But maybe the church and us are reformed so that we might be able to help in the reforming of the world. Now, some like to think about all of this in a sense of removal and distance. Well, you know, we're called to sort of be heavenly minded and removed from all that's around us. But I would submit to you that the reality is that Martin Luther, when he banged on that door with those theses, was struggling with the idea of how can the church, how can those who are the body of Christ speak into the world in which they live? How can we bear light and joy and hope and promise and mercy and understanding in the world in which we live? So if we're going to be reformed as the church, get ready for doing a new thing. If we're going to be reformed as individuals, get ready to be a new person so that we can take that newness, that joy, that power, that transformative love into the world in a way in which we declare by the very living of our lives that we serve a God who is a God of love and restoration, a God of grace, as was spoken about earlier. So yes, Jesus tells those gathered leaders, the truth will break down barriers, the truth will unshackle you, the truth will make you free. And as we sit here on this day, as we abide in this place today, we can celebrate, yes, the fact that there's much by way of our history as the body of Christ, but God is in the business of reforming and reshaping us. And thanks be to God for that. It was 1,517 years that the church had already been in existence before the Protestant Reformation happened, and something that cataclysmically different was able to take place 1,517 years into the existence of the life of the church. Well, that tells me that God is yet still in the business of reformation, renewal, and revitalizing, breathing life into who we are. So my prayer is this, that if God tarries, if there are a gathered group of folk in this sanctuary, and we just got a new roof, so hopefully it will still be this sanctuary, in 2117, maybe they'll be able to say, you know what? The folk who were here in 2017 were faithful. The folk who were here in 2017 sought to understand how they could indeed honor a power and presence of God in the world by being able to be renewed and reshaped for this very present moment. Thanks be to God for their faithfulness. But thanks be to God that God is not static in human existence. That the God of 2017 is yet still the same God of 1517, is yet still the same God that will be God in 2117. But that God renews us, revitalizes us, reforms us, so that the world might see that God is very much alive and present in our midst. So, if an Augustinian monk, at the age of 34, can take on the institution of the established church and say that we're called to an accountability for each of us. Each of us should understand how God speaks into our lives so that we can therefore go out into the world and be agents of change. Maybe that's the message we celebrate. Maybe that's what we take from that moment in history. Martin Luther did many things. He wrote more books from the time of the printing press being invented, which was about 100 years before his life. At one point, a third of all the books in German were books that Martin Luther had written. So he sought to speak into the world. He was a great hymnologist and wrote the hymn that we celebrate even yet still today, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." So understand this morning that God is a God of faithfulness. God is a God of mercy and love that indeed does not change. But because of that mercy and because of that love, we are able to be reformed and reshaped and renewed so that this world might know that God is yet still alive and very present even in our journey. So, the truth of renewal and reformation, the truth of God being active and engaged in each of our lives always, the truth will set you free. Let the church say amen.